Book of Magic spells, and that
it
Percival
looks like
is
the Necronomicon from
yes, of course, because every fucking magic book has to look like the Necronomicon now. Like, that's just like
Gotta have the face.
yeah, exactly. Every book has a face. Pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO Riverdale. I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
And this is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast hosted by two comedians who are, at this point, a little old for the show. And we're a little old for the show, arguably, when the show started. Kate just coughed off mic like she is old. Yes.
Yeah.
If you like what you're hearing, please hit that subscribe button on whatever podcatcher you use so you can keep listening to us. And you can, you know, talk about what we're talking about on social media. We're always happy to hear from people listening to the show. We're primarily on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So today we are going to talk about chapter 111, Blue Collar. But before we get into it, any big Riverdale fan news other than the fact that now there's a light at the end of the tunnel? The show is coming to an end.
Yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We got a little spoiler image from later this season, early next season. I have no idea what this picture is from. There's a possible chance it's an old picture and we just don't remember it happening.
No, it has not happened yet. Yeah.
Okay, because it's a real exciting smooch coming down the line.
There's a real smooch. For those of you that ship two characters that you want to see smooch, they're going to smooch.
Yep, it's them.
And it's them, and that's all we want to say. We just want to hint to it, but you can find the image online if it's really important to you.
Or just, like, ask us.
Yeah, or ask us, you know, take us out for a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, we
pick
could
our brains.
Pick our brains. That's right. We could use some socializing, I feel, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, episode 111, Blue Collar. What do you think of this one?
I watched it about 2 to 3 hours ago and forgot what happened until I just started looking at my notes right now. It's another episode where just nothing really moved.
Yeah, it was real slow moving. I would argue this is one of the worst episodes in recent memory. Maybe not in the history of the show, but I thought this one was really hard to get through, which is a shame because we've had a few really good ones lately.
It felt like it didn't belong in it, and it wasn't bad because, like, things didn't make sense. Like, it all made sense.
Ish. There's questions I have for you about certain things that I was like, what? Really?
Yeah, but, like, it felt, sometimes they have, like, real preachy moments, like, reminding us that Tony and Fangs are still proud members of the LGBTQ+ community. Mm-hmm. But this was, like, an entire episode of supporting unions, which we very much do here at XOXO Riverdale. But
Let it be known, like, we are not union busters at XOXO
no, we
Riverdale.
We support unions here, but, like, we didn't need 42 minutes of supporting unions.
Yeah, the union thing, I feel like it's more than worth bringing up sort of before we get into the episode details. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was interesting that they got so heavy into the role of unions, and it felt somewhat educational for the watchers of the show. Mm-hmm. And I thought that there were certain moments of that plot and of the way what unions do was communicated. There were certain moments of this episode that worked better than others when it came to that. And we'll get to it. There were certain scenes where I was like, oh no, why are we belaboring this? And then other scenes where I was like, this feels organic with the show. This is fine.
It feels like they wrote it, like, in the wake of the IATSE boycotts and protests. And, like, that was happening at the same time as, like, the SAG president nomination, which went to the wrong person.
It did. That's correct.
Very much did.
Yes.
But it feels like someone in here was like learning about unions for the first time and was like, yeah, I'm going to write a whole episode about this.
Absolutely.
And I guess maybe for the target audience, it's good to teach them about unions, but not for us.
It's fine.
We just had an opinion about a union we're not in.
I mean, I would love it if this is the beginning of Archie's hardcore descent into like extreme anarchist DSA leftism.
Yeah, but it won't be.
Yeah, I don't think that's where they're going with the show.
No, absolutely not.
So that's fine. That's the way it goes. I mean, you know, dress Archie in some, you know, nice anarchist punky clothes. Swoon. regardless, let's get into it. So to the surprise of no one who watches the show, Percival has lied about the benefits of working for him. But there is no other construction work in Riverdale for these people to have, so they seem kind of stuck with this very bad boss.
Yeah, well, Jughead explained it as the fight between good versus evil is now those who work versus those who exploit workers.
Sure.
And I was like, that's a little less binary, but we'll go with it.
Sure, it's fine for Fisher-Price Unions 101, Labor Rights 101 episode here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Also, interestingly enough, he wants these people to be building the ghost train, and this is very important to whatever his big plan is, but he's not able to control all of their minds because they seem somewhat upset to be exploited, despite the fact that in the past he's controlled lots of minds, so no logic there.
Nope, none at all. But when they are talking about why Percival is doing this, Tabitha says Percival is all about control. And Cheryl, fairly under her breath and very quickly, added, and Tweed.
I missed that.
Yeah, because it was so, real brushed past.
That's very funny, though.
It was.
That's a great Cheryl line.
And then she went straight into the Bruce Springsteen line. Like, it was a great scene for Cheryl.
Yes, and the Bruce Springsteen reference was really funny. I liked that a lot. But then, I would argue that this is an episode where Cheryl is being written really inconsistently.
Oh, yeah. But this
because
whole season.
She is having a great time in that scene, seeming very engaged with trying to help, you know, fight the evil that is Percival. But then she kind of left that scene in a huff, and I didn't really understand why.
Yeah, it. I don't know what's going on with her.
I guess
figure out something.
Having a pleasant, productive conversation with Archie made Cheryl really angry.
Yeah,
for no particular reason.
They weren't even like asking too much of her either. They just like wanted her opinion.
Yeah, they were like coming to her like as a peer.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, so weird. I thought that was so odd. I thought that was the beginning of the indication that this episode was going to be subpar, was specifically her exit from that scene. I was like, uh-oh, it's one of these ones.
Yeah.
Where everyone's behaving real weird. So then we get Pops that is now inside the El Royale and feels absolutely ginormous. Which I guess is fine. I guess the El Royale is big.
Yeah.
And that Pops is now headquarters to the Resistance. Very exciting. So, you know, can't wait to see how that develops. Once again, I hope it means that they'll start hosting DSA meetings there. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah. And then we get this scene with Drake. A few things about Drake this episode. Thing number one, felt like they were playing a little less that she has a crush on Betty. So maybe that's a plot point that they're choosing not to follow through with. Or maybe that was a weird direction by whoever was directing those scenes several episodes ago now. You know, where it seemed like she was hitting on Betty.
Yeah.
But another thing is that she talks about having a strong knowledge of Hiram Lodge because she was part of the Jingle Jangle investigation.
Right, with the ATF.
Yes, with
So
the
it was Jingle
ATF.
Jangle and rum.
Yes, and the rum. So now, maybe I'm wrong about this, and feel free to correct me, but those are plot lines that were happening, I believe, before the time jump, correct?
Yes, for the most part.
Was the rum was before the time jump too, right? It was when
The
Veronica
rum,
was still in high school.
I think it continued to after.
Sure. Okay. So maybe I'm a little wrong. Maybe I'm a little wrong. But the Jingle Jangle really hasn't been mentioned since for several seasons, which makes me think that Drake must be really old.
Well, so it's been 7 year time jump, so assuming she was like on the Jingle Jangle beat right out of like undergrad, that would put her around like 30. So
I guess so. I guess so. I was trying to sort of do the math in my head.
yeah, I mean, to be fair, age is totally insane because I did just look up how old the actress who plays Heather is, because I was guessing like 55 but dyed her hair, and the answer is like 26.
Great.
So
So we learn that we couldn't get Dr. Kirtle back for this episode to tell
right.
Veronica this news. They said it's Drake. But we learn that Veronica is like basically functioning as a living dialysis machine. Which leads to some really interesting plot choices that we'll get to that I thought were stupid. And then what do we get? But we get Alice being very stupid by in a panic calling Betty and calling like Charles is here. So of course that would freak out Betty because Charles is a killer. So she rushes over and then like Betty gets there and Alice is like, he's in your room. Like, what?
Yeah, Alice is real panicked considering when Betty like opened the door to her room. I had looked away when I came back. It was like the end of 2001 where he like walks in on like the old version of himself in the bed. Like, I was
Totally.
very much like, wait, who's in the bed? What's going
Yeah,
on?
oh, it's
Why does he have a heart
Charles.
monitor?
Yeah.
What's
Okay, so
going on?
Charles is dying, so that was just a really fun like series of events to manipulate us into thinking something bad was happening when nothing bad was happening.
Yeah.
And Betty
Also,
isn't
what does
upset with
Charles
her
have?
mother. Betty isn't like, "Hey, mom, next time could you tell me what's going on?"
Yeah.
Yeah, like nothing.
So we get this scene between Moose and Kevin at the Five Seasons. And like,
Yes.
Moose, first of all, he just refers to Anthony with no baby. He is not wasting his time qualifying who Anthony is.
Yeah,
But
Moose has taken none of that shit because he's our boy. We love
and,
him.
but like, truly consistent through this whole episode, he is like being so beyond reasonable and like supportive of Kevin while still trying to like Kevin to do like the right thing. He'll be like, oh, and like trying to like guide him to making the right decisions, and Kevin's just like off the rails, and Moose is just like really trying his best.
I think that's a very generous read of Moose's behavior in this episode, and it's because we love him so much, but I felt like it was like Moose, the question machine in this episode, being like, "What are you doing, Kevin?" like really the whole time. And also it seems like Moose and Kevin's relationship has devolved in the last like three episodes to spooky dinner time.
Well, were they like together? Like, this is real. Like, Moose just like showed up and started being around, but they like barely had a thing. Like, it was real confusing.
They're
Like, I know they split.
clearly a couple now.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they just say that?
Well, let's talk about this now because I feel like it's a good of time as any. This episode, even worse than some of the more recent ones, plays very, very fast and loose with Kevin in a way that I think paints him very much as a gay villain. And someone who's trying to break up these now appearing as heterosexual characters from raising their baby. And I know that he's being manipulated by Percival, but the way they've taken Kevin, this direction they've taken him in, does not sit well with me at all. And I find it hugely disappointing.
Yeah. I also feel, now that I'm thinking about it, like someone wrote this episode in a vacuum and they were like, well, we got to put it in somewhere because it doesn't really have anything to do with the episode before or after it. And all of the relationships are like very vague.
All the relationships do feel vague. I mean, there are certain points that probably won't follow through like 2-3 episodes from now, like the Jughead mentalist thing. But there's only a few of them, so I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like this was being written sort of off to the side, this one. So, then, the next thing I want to talk about is Archie and Tabitha going to the work site to offer everybody 25-cent burgers if they swing by Pops. And just how insanely catty both Archie and Tabitha are about the whole thing. Like, they're just like ragingly catty. They're like, well, we are gonna give you some burgers. Like, it's like, it's once again really odd choices in terms of the performance.
Really odd choices, but what I will say is that this scene set up terror in me for the rest of the episode that never paid off, which is Tabitha saying it was gonna be some sort of like open mic night at Pops.
Yes!
And it never played out, and I was like, oh, thank God.
Well, I guess their definition of an open mic night is when you go to a restaurant and get served 25-cent burgers, and then someone talks at you about labor organizing. Yeah. I guess that's what an open mic night is.
I mean, I'm happy that that's what we got as an open mic night.
Then we get Percival, who's poking around Reggie's brain. And this is the first time we've seen this motif of like the comic book stack being used with someone else who isn't Jughead. So they're just going with it, and apparently inside everyone's brains, everyone's brains exist as a comic book long box with comic book memories.
Yeah. Great.
Which I guess in a metatextual way makes a lot of sense. So I guess I'm fine with it. But we haven't seen Percival do this yet, so I guess this is a thing he can do. And then he gives Reggie a creepy doll, because this show loves its creepy dolls.
It's a ventriloquist dummy of Reggie for Reggie, yes. Because he's going to learn to throw his voice within 24 hours.
And the dummy... he does... But the dummy doesn't return in the episode. Which is that. Nope. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, this episode is real fast and loose with plot points and props.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we get our first scene with Archie talking about the benefits of unions. And he's doing it to our new pal, you know, this guy who is a worker in Riverdale, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the scene that to me felt way too didactic. That was like, oh, you know, the kids are going to turn this off because they think they're, you know, someone's lecturing them. Yeah. So that was that scene. And then we get this plot that is now going to be a subplot where they have a big discussion about absinthe and about how absinthe is illegal because it is poisonous because of the wormwood content. And if you have too much of it, you could die. And, you know, wormwood is a hallucinogen. And then they basically do what Canada has been doing for years and years. I don't know if this is still the case, but I used to drink absinthe in Canada. And
I think you can get it in the U.S. just like a super, super watered down.
Yeah, you get it like, with the wormwood content super, super reduced so that it's no longer poisonous.
Right.
But it was so funny to me. They had like such an in-depth chat about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, like what absinthe is. And the fact that this is going to be a plot on this show is like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I sure loved absinthe when I was a very precocious college boy. But don't care that much anymore.
Yeah. So we get this scene between Charles and Betty where it felt like Charles was being, like, fairly kind and, like, felt bad and, like, apologizing and was, like, on his deathbed and, like, coming to terms with things. And Betty's just aggressive. Like, and I get why she's mad, but it was also, like, very incongruent.
And something else I was just going to bring up about Betty this episode. Agreed with everything you said. And just no dark glasses, no headaches. She's fine for this episode.
Yeah, I was like, oh, does he not have an aura? I guess because he's about to die, so he isn't threatening anyone. Like, I don't...
Or does no one have an aura anymore? Because she has been dealing with this last few episodes, walking around looking like Daredevil. Not anymore.
Nope, nope.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and having Chick back in, or sorry, Charles back Charles. In this episode like this is a little like, I don't really want Charles to stick around. I felt really done with him, personally.
And they also do address Chick. In, like, the most throwaway, like, someone, like, rushed into set, like, in the middle of them filming. It was like, wait, people are going to wonder, where's Chick? And the answer was prison.
That is
also
the way.
Also prison.
Yeah, that is the way that it felt, yes. So then we learn that Percival's family stole a book from the Blossoms that's, like, a magical book of magic spells, and that
it
Percival
looks like
is
the Necronomicon from.
Yes, of course, because every fucking magic book has to look like the Necronomicon now. Like, that's just like.
Gotta have a face.
Yeah, exactly. Every book has a face.
Yep.
And, and then, like, so Percival is now called a sorcerer.
Great.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe that is how Percival gained his abilities, is through some sort of magic, as opposed to, like, an explosion like the rest of them did, you know?
Right.
But, okay, cool.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes, exactly, whatever. And then Cheryl, Heather's gonna teach Cheryl how to turn invisible, which is very fun. But also, she mentions Harry Potter, and you know what? Fuck off, Harry Potter. It doesn't need to be mentioned ever again. Fuck Harry Potter. You know?
Yeah, if it didn't make money, I don't know. It's so... I don't know. Because also, I was hoping it was going to be, like, fun, like, when Harry first gets the invisibility cloak and there's, like, candy floating.
Yeah, but instead it was fun in the way that she had to hold her breath, which I loved.
But she was holding the book, and she was holding her breath, and you couldn't just see the book floating, and I was like, bummer.
Yeah. That would have been fun. Make a book float, Riverdale. Come on, why do
yeah,
I watch
God,
this?
I imagine the special effects aren't that complicated.
And then, just want to talk about the next thing that happens, which is Veronica comes to, you know, ask a favor of Cheryl. And then once again, Cheryl is horrible to Veronica, and I don't remember them being in a fight.
No, it seemed like Cheryl was mad that Veronica was, like, interrupting her sexy night, but there was nothing happening, and it was just...
Remember how Cheryl gave... Episodes. Sorry. Just remember Cheryl, like, one episode ago, two episodes ago, gave Veronica her, like, favorite spider pin?
Yep.
And they were being so sweet to each other, and now apparently Cheryl hates Veronica.
It's because this episode was written in the darkness.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
So we get this insane scene in a bar. What bar? I feel like they wanted to be the White Worm, and then suddenly remembered that, like, the White Worm doesn't have a roof, really, and just, like, panicked, and were like, take all the branding off, and they won't ask questions.
Yeah, they definitely were in a neutral space, and we didn't really know where they were.
Right, and this conversation is insane. Like, first they say that, like, Kevin's trying to get the paternity test, and Tony's like, but we don't want anyone to know, and it's like, okay, but the court's gonna make you get one, and also, Tony knows. She just, like, forgot. And also, it was heavily implied that at first, it wasn't, like, it's Kevin or Fangs and we don't know which one. It was, like, it was some other person and Kevin and Fangs were, like, stepping in. And now it's, like, a totally different situation. And then they talk about, like, Tony wants to get married, like, for the baby. And, like, that's a horrible reason.
Oh, absolutely.
Just this whole scene is, like, Tony suddenly became the dumbest fucking idiot in Riverdale.
And then also this reiteration of this plot point that, like, the Serpents are going to become political activists, which probably isn't going to be much better for a judge, but I guess it depends on the politics of the judge, whether that's like better optics if they're going to become, you know, politically active in the world. So I thought that was a little weird.
Oh yeah, all of it, top to bottom, real weird.
Yes. And then also, like, Fangs, when she's like, do you want to marry me, Fangs? Have you thought about it? Fangs, like, sort of equates the serpents with a marriage, which was very odd to me.
Yeah, especially because later they decide they're gonna initiate Anthony, and it's like, well, but our what? Because remember, if you remember Betty's initiation, like, what is it for a baby?
Yes, that is true. That is true. Like, what is the baby going to have to do a pole dance and sing Mad World?
Yeah, or get like a cool snake tattoo? Like, which is it?
Yes, what's going to happen there? Can't wait to see.
It's gonna be like the, oh man, did you watch I Think You Should Leave?
I did. It
The
will
like
be like
bat the bad boy baby at the baby pageant.
the bad boy baby at the baby pageant. They're going to put him in a little leather jacket. Then we get Jughead doing his mentalist act, the great Forsyth Pendleton or whatever it is, and then the Fantastic Forsyth, and then we cut to Reggie throwing his voice, and it's the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
He got so good so fast.
Yep, he's
And
just sitting there throwing his voice around, but
no movement.
immediately it doesn't matter that because immediately Jughead's like, Reggie? Immediately. And then, you know, there is Percival going in and he's trying to open Jughead's mind door, and he can't because Jughead's hung up a sign that says, not you, Percival.
No Percival's allowed.
And then Jughead has very cute headshots of his parents on the door as emotional tethers. So that's nice. And we get to see Skeet for a moment, and I don't mind that at all. But also, they looked like weird actor headshots.
Yeah.
So
Everything in that scene was weird.
it
And
was
then
very weird.
Percival tells Reggie that he needs like a talisman to tether himself to Jughead's memories. And Reggie's like, great, I'll go dig a hole in the schoolyard. It'll be fine.
Yes, I'll go dig a hole in the schoolyard. I know where the time capsule is. And then Percival has a great line, which is, you will deliver the beanie unto me. Which felt like definitely is notable there.
Reggie describes it as like Jughead just like kind of weirdly wore this beanie a lot, and I was like, what a missed opportunity for a real monologue. Calling him a weirdo.
Absolutely. Like, biggest fan moment of the entire show. How
Just drop
fun
the
would that have
ball.
been to throw back to it in a fun way and let Reggie do that, you know?
Yep. But they didn't.
No, but they didn't. Of course not. Yes. So then we get the whole meeting with all of the people that work for Percival and Archie, trying to sort of lead them in this revolt, you know, to unionize. And this felt better. This is when I was like, this scene is totally okay written. This totally explains the benefits of unions, and like that's great. That's better. That's all. So then, oh my God, we had this scene with Charles and Betty that was real dumb.
All I took away was, what does Charles have?
He has some form of leukemia, apparently.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Some form of leukemia. And then Charles was like talking about how he caught a possum when he was a kid at the Sisters of Quiet Mercy.
Yeah.
And then how he killed the possum. And then he's decided that if he hadn't killed the possum, maybe he wouldn't have been a psycho killer.
I guess because he wouldn't have gotten a taste of murder.
Yet it would never have released the darkness. So that's all crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't like, especially, I mean, of course, Riverdale couldn't predict the events of this week. But I do just want to say, like, I don't love sort of this crackerjack psychology that has to do with, like, people who go out intentionally to hurt other people. Like, it just f doesn't really feel like it's meeting the moment at all.
Nope.
Like, yeah. Anyway.
Nope.
And then Kevin and Fangs have this little tiff while they're working together on the crew.
They throw fisticuffs.
They throw fisticuffs, and Kevin says to Fangs, his ex of many, 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 many years, "Hey, dude, what's your problem?" Which just felt real sloppy and like what no one would say that, you know?
Well, he was so distracted by his lats looking good. By Kevin's lats looking good.
Well, no,
If you
Kevin says
remember.
that to Fangs. "Hey, dude, what's your
Either way, they're
problem?"
just. Okay. I'm just trying to tie it back to when
I know, to
they
when
tried to
Kevin had,
flirt
yes, when he
by
tried to
saying
flirt
looking
and he said that
lats.
Kevin had great lats.
Yeah.
Yes.
They just don't know how to speak to each other.
No, they really don't. And it's because gay people don't speak to each other in a normal way on this show. So, you know,
Correct.
yeah. And then we have this fun, I thought this fun scene in the midst of all this crap, which is invisible Cheryl holding her breath, sneaking around
Yeah, super fun.
the curiosity shop, but also it brought up the point, when really does Percival have time to be running this curiosity shop with all the stuff
When
that he's
does
doing?
anyone in this town have any time to do anything
Yeah,
and
that's
then
a really.
also have jobs, but their job isn't their job?
Yeah, but their job is their
And
job. Their job is a different thing.
right, episode to episode.
And speaking of which, actually, it ties into the next thing I want to bring up was this weird scene where Veronica is holding Wormwood in her hands and trying to, or yeah, that's right. It's Wormwood, right? Yeah,
Yeah,
and
she's just like squeezing it.
she's trying to pull the poison out of it using her body, and it's like that's your big business idea for making the absinthe is you're gonna sit there every day and pull the poison out of Wormwood using your magical powers, your superpowers.
Yeah, she is. You nailed it.
Yep, seems pretty laborious to me.
She's apparently got the time.
Yes, she apparently does just to sit there and do it. And Alice has the time to kill Charles with a pillow.
Yep, or to try to, but Betty stops her just in time.
Just in time. And Betty sees it through her window where she's living with Archie because they do live next door to each other. Great.
Do you know what the next scene is? Because my only note was so many Anthonys without baby.
We will get to that. but it is true they did call him Anthony for a good old scene, but I just want to address this scene with Alice and Betty just for a moment, where her mother's just tried to kill her brother, and her mother's babbling, and she tells her mother to shut up, which really oversimplified everything that was going on. That's all. Real crazy. Yeah. So then, at least the next thing that I have is just this scene with Cheryl and Heather, where it's just like, and then Cheryl got the book back. And it's like, we're so glad you got that book back, Cheryl. But like, once again, we don't see that actually happening on the show.
No, she's like holding it in the back room. We
Yes.
do see her holding it, but
They always cut away from the fun, the stuff that's fun that's active to me.
oh yeah, it's a real tell don't show.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I would have loved to have seen Cheryl be more nervous and kind of vulnerable stealing the book, but no.
No.
And then we learn for the first time, and this is fine, it's very soap opera-y, that the way Anthony was conceived, because this is the scene where they say Anthony a lot, we learn that he was conceived by Kevin and Fangs and Tony having a threesome so that none of them knew who the actual father was.
Now, did they say that's how they did it, or just that they used both of their sperm?
They could have mixed the sperm. That is absolutely true. I just assumed a threesome because that's kind of the easier way to do that.
Yeah, I did it first too, but then I was like, I don't know, it feels like Kevin would do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
But also,
maybe Kevin wouldn't do that. I don't know.
there's a lot of things Kevin wouldn't do, so.
That's true. And then Moose is sort of just like sitting there all mad with Kevin. Like, just sort of disappointed in him, but like, doesn't really get very emotional about it. And like, their relationship just feels incredibly strange now, which is a shame.
Yeah, Musso is like once again like feels like this isn't something I want to be in the middle of.
Yeah, he's just like Mr. Expositional.
Yep. And then we find out that a worker fully lost a foot.
Not good.
No, not good.
No, when
It
they're
doesn't seem
working on
like
the
it should
railroad.
take much convincing people that they want workplace safety. Because my other thing too was that like even if you're not unionized, OSHA still applies.
Yes.
Like this isn't like it is like a good way to get them to unionize, but it's also just like bad work management.
Yeah, like people shouldn't be getting their feet chopped off.
No. In
No.
no position.
No, not good. Not good.
Unioned or not.
And then we get this stupid fucking scene where Veronica cures Charles.
Oh, you're like way ahead. You skipped a whole bunch.
Oh, did I skip stuff? Because
I think
or
they
that
just
they were talking
decide she's
about
going to.
Veronica
Yeah.
curing Charles. Will Veronica cure Charles?
Right.
Which is stupid.
Yep, it is. And then we Britta's back.
Oh my God, Britta the
Poor Britta.
babysitter.
Britta's
But
babysitting.
there is a few things I actually do want to discuss before we get to Britta the babysitter.
Okay.
And that is the fact that first, okay, a few things in these scenes. So, first of all, we have to go back to the miners' strike of 49 to fault Percival's family for doing something wrong,
Yes.
which is probably not, I wouldn't be fully convinced that this person is still in the wrong when it comes to workplace safety because of what his great grandfather did.
Yeah, Fangs is fully like, they read from some diary about what he did. He's like, Percival's great great grandfather said that? No way. And it's like just minutes ago, he did not care that your coworkers were put off, like cut off. I don't think we needed to go back that far. Can't believe you're more mad about that than what just happened.
Absolutely. And then we go to the next mentalist scene. And so like there these are two separate scenes with Jughead and his show where no one notices that Reggie's in the audience. Seems like Veronica's real hands-on when it comes to those mentalist shows, and like
Yeah.
Jughead is very much persona non grata right now. That's all. Yeah.
Yep.
And then we get Percival, who has gotten the cap back, and the cap in the last like 8, 9 years has just turned black.
Yeah. I thought it was the lighting in my apartment at first, but then I was like, oh, it's just a different hat.
Yeah, it just looked like a completely different beanie.
Yep.
And I don't think that that's what would have happened with the cap if it was locked up in a time capsule.
Nope, it would not have.
So that was odd. And then we get this very funny scene where Percival is wearing Jughead's cap and the serpent's jacket, which who knows how Reggie got that? No explanation. That's a pretty wild thing for Reggie just to pull out of his ass.
Yep.
And then Percival's dressed in like Jughead drag, which I just thought was hilarious. Like he looks like he's cosplaying as like season two Jughead. That's
It's
all.
very silly.
Yeah, it's very, very, very silly. And then Jughead gets overloaded with thoughts, which is a big problem.
He hears everyone at once, like
Everyone
Professor
at
X.
once. Then we get Britta the babysitter.
And like Tony goes off on her for like letting Kevin maybe take a pacifier, and it's like, okay, like this is
No,
not Britta's fault.
I don't think Tony behaved meanly towards Britta, actually. Tony did say, "Oh, okay, thanks for letting me know that happened. Like, you're free to go, Britta." But it wasn't like she was like, "You did what?"
She was, but she was like very, maybe not accusatory, but like, what do you mean you don't know that, like whether he took it or not? And it
That
was
is
like, because
true.
that's an insane thing to track. And I
Yes.
do just want to remember in our memories that at this point in the plot line, she does send Britta away because later Anthony is completely uncared for for a whole chunk of time.
Yeah, Anthony.
She sends Britta away and then goes to punch Kevin, and it's like, who is Anthony with in this time?
Anthony has joined Mrs. Applebaum as being a skeleton in a room.
In a room. They lock the door, so...
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And then Jughead does a whole bunch of very silly things before he goes home. Mm-hmm. He goes to Pops, and it's like, get away from people for a while, you know?
Yep.
And then we get this scene. This is the scene where Veronica is saving Charles. And this is absolutely insane. And the way they explain what they're going to do is they're going to hook Charles up to Veronica. Like, how? That sounds quite painful. That sounds rather Cronenbergian, I must say.
Yeah, you know? They don't make machines that go directly from one person to the other.
Exactly.
There's usually an in-between step where it's so in-between they don't have to both be there for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but instead, they say they're going to do that, but then there's really no explanation as to how.
No how. And if Dr. Kirtle's not there to perform this new surgical intervention, who's going to do it?
Yeah, exactly. He's the only doctor. You know, I got to say, as someone who recently has been doing more professional work writing for kids, I wish I could get away with this show, with what this show gets away with. Like, if I were to, like, put a plot point like that in one of the things that I write, I get like 70 notes back being like, how did this happen? The 3-year-olds will know that something is wrong. That's all. Like, the 3-year-olds will be able to track, like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. Anyway.
So we have this. So after Tony punches Kevin, she and Fangs.
Oh, well, come on. We can't gloss over this weird fucking scene where she keeps cartoonishly punching Kevin in the face.
With brass knuckles.
With brass knuckles, and it keeps seeing like nothing's really happening to Kevin until the end of the scene.
Yeah.
And Kevin just sort of looks back up at her like it's fun playtime for both of them.
Moose tries to stop her a second, and Tony's like, no. And Moose is like, okay.
Yeah, Moose is like, you're right, Kevin deserves this, which he does.
He does, yeah.
But that was all nuts, and also seems like maybe this trial isn't going to go so well for Tony and Fangs now. Just
saying. Right, because this just pushes them over the edge to decide that they should induct him into the Serpents, which, like, how the fuck is that going to help?
Mm-hmm.
And this is also when I noticed that Britta had been dismissed, so no one was watching Anthony. Mm-hmm. And then Fangs just chews the scenery in this scene.
Yes.
Just is not familiar with humans in general.
The way humans talk and work, yes.
And look and move their faces.
Then tracking Jughead, he now is at home and can still hear everybody. So, okay, I guess things aren't working out so well for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this scene where they all decide to unionize. This is the scene with the great-grandfather letter being read.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact, the only other thing I want to mention about this is just the fact that Percival didn't check in with the crew to make sure they were okay after one of them got their foot cut off. It almost seems like Percival wants them to unionize, because, like, that's obviously what you should do, not in an ethical way, but in a way to keep your workers controlled. Is you check in and you, like, lend an ear and you're like, I'm sorry that happened.
They weren't even concerned about him talking to workers. He just, like, didn't even call the guy whose foot got cut off.
Exactly. And it made them mad. And, yeah, that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, that's pretty smart to be mad. And then Percival tells Kevin that, like, Fangs is Anthony's father. So that means that
yes,
Tony does know, because he had to get that information from someone's brain. Like,
we don't even know how he fucking figured that out, you know, and fine. Whether we ever know how he figured it out, we will see.
And then he's fully jealous of a baby.
Yes, he's jealous of a baby. He hates that baby. Get that and baby!
Wait, so we've toddler Anthony, because baby Anthony sucks.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have this scene with Heather and Cheryl, where Cheryl's like, Heather, the library was a ruse just to get closer to you. where Cheryl's just been so weird this episode that it's great that Heather really gives her a chance. Like, that's fine. I'm glad that they're going to have a nice relationship. I think that's totally okay.
Also, Heather was so nice by not being like, yeah, I know. Like, it's been, you've telegraphed it very clearly.
Yeah, very clearly. Like, I figured it out. You really have no game at this point, Cheryl.
Yeah.
And then, like, we learn that the serpents aren't rebranding because it would be a sign of weakness. But, like, baby Anthony is definitely going to get raised by Uncle Kevin. I'm sorry at this point.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's just going to suck for everybody. And then we learn that he's going to get inducted into the Serpents, baby Anthony. And we learn that he's going to get a serpent name. So, my question for you is, what do you think his serpent name should be? Because I have one that I like.
I feel like it's just gonna be baby, the same way that like there's like a baby and like the Outsiders. Like it's just like a name that like is supposed to be tough and we all just go with it because the other names around it are tough too, but like it is just baby.
That would be such a troll to the audience that watches this show after the amount of times that they've said baby Anthony, if they just go with baby.
Yeah.
That would be wild. I want his name to be Knife. I think that'd be
Abs.
great. Have you ever seen the movie Back to the Beach?
I'm not.
Well, it's the best, and there's a teenager in it who joins a gang and goes, "Knife, you will now address me as Knife." And then his family goes, "Nice? You want your name to be Nice? Okay, Nice." He goes, "No, Knife! Knife!" Well, I'm hearing Nice. Then he goes, "Never mind. My new gang name is Surly." And then they go, "Shirley? You want to be called Shirley?" So I just really hope baby Anthony's name is Knife.
I hope they have a real who's on first situation with
Yeah,
this.
real funny. Real good bit from that movie.
Yeah. And they're
Yeah,
definitely going to make that reference.
because they love Back to the, we know already the
We
Riverdale
know.
writers love Back to the Beach.
Yep, it's a known.
It is a known fact, yeah.
So Veronica does, in fact, cure Charles.
Yep.
And Charles also, surprise, waited until he was better to say, I know who the TBK is.
Totally.
And like how to trap them, but like I didn't want to let you know when I was dying.
And listen, if Charles shows up next week just helping Betty out and running around free, I'm gonna be livid because he is should be in jail.
Yet they let him out on like compassionate release.
Yes, so now it's time to go back to jail, buddy.
Yeah.
This, so we'll see how that goes for this show.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Moose's job?
What's
Because
Moose's job?
he was the gym teacher, but now he's working construction, but he doesn't want to unionize with everyone else because he's got Kevin's back too much, but he also does seem to question a lot of what Kevin's doing. So it seems like Moose maybe just got dragged somewhere thinking they were like gonna get burgers and then was like, oh, why are we on train tracks?
Yeah,
What's going on, guy?
they threw a hard hat on him.
Yeah, and then he was like, oh, yikes. I guess I'm here for like a real stand down. I better just be quiet so I don't get hurt.
Yeah, seriously. Poor Moose.
Oh, Moose.
And then, we learn that Archie's going to be the union rep, and that's totally fine, and good for you, Archie. And then we learn from Percival that there hasn't been any real fighting yet. It's going to get really bad. And I don't know if I'm that interested in seeing how that's going to be, what that's going to mean.
Yep, we'll see.
Yeah.
So Betty goes to Veronica because I guess what Charles's big idea for trapping TBK is to have a fan convention for serial killer fans, Serial Con or something, which by the way probably exists.
Well, there are conventions for fans of true crime. I don't
Yeah.
know if they would get that close to being a serial killer fan like that, like that kind of thing.
I mean, they're not going to call it that, but that's what it is.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I know that, one of my big artistic influences, John Waters, is obsessed with serial killers, and he tries to go to trials for serial killers when he can and do
Yeah.
that kind of thing. So I bet he's been to a few gatherings for people who want to talk about serial killers
A
before.
lot of people do in ways where sometimes you're like, oh yeah, you're interested in true crime, and other ways where you're like, oh no.
Where, yeah, in other ways where you're like, well, this Tinder date's over. You know,
Yeah, in other
like,
ways where you're like,
yeah.
you know, you knew people wrote to Charles Manson in prison, but you didn't think you'd meet one.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. Anyway, and then we get the final scene of this episode where Jughead is back in the bunker.
Which makes sense. Early in the episode,
Totally.
I was like, oh, maybe he should go to the bunker. And then he does. And I'm like, great, good for him.
Yeah, but it's not working, and that's going to be bad for Jughead.
No, he seems to be able to hear Rivervale.
Oh, that's interesting. Was he hearing Rivervale?
Yeah, he
I
was
didn't
hearing
notice that.
conversations from Rivervale. And then, like, the final, like, title card at the end, it had, like, the D and the V, like, flickering back and forth.
Yes. Okay.
So it seems like
Interesting.
the bunker is some sort of potential gateway between the two.
And that's pretty cool, actually. Oh, I
Yeah.
kind of like that because we ended with the Rivervale Jughead sitting and writing everybody's stories. So I wonder if those two Jugheads are going to meet up pretty soon.
Yeah, because he could hear the typing when he was there. So,
Wowie. Well, that
yeah.
would be cool. I'd be thrilled to have Rivervale mean something right now.
Yeah, it seems like it might, or it will
Or
not.
they'll forget about it.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I didn't notice any of that at all, so phooey
Oh, you
on
should
me.
maybe go back and watch it because it was like pretty important.
Yeah, apparently. So who's on your power list?
I have Archie, Percival, Veronica, and Betty.
Yep, that's fine. I have Archie, Percival, and Tony.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's
Yep.
on your crush list?
I only have one. As you can imagine, it's everyone on the count of three. One, two, three. Percival, what? Just kidding, it's Moose.
That's so funny. I was so disappointed in Moose this
Yeah, but he's
episode.
just present, you
He
know?
and he is very cute, but on my crush list I had Tony back to her serpent ways. Then number two, I had Percival in Jughead drag.
Okay.
And then number three, I had not Moose because he was being
Oh.
very naughty this episode, and I want him to
I
be
will
a
say
good boy.
Archie's hair looked really good in this episode, but I didn't want the rest of Archie, just his hair.
Yes.
And it was
Yes.
notable.
Yeah, nice hair, Archie. So next week, what do we have to expect here?
American Psychos.
Ah, American Psychos. So a reference to the Bret Easton Ellis novel, I would imagine.
Yeah, with the movie starring Christian Bale.
Yes, the movie starring Christian Bale. Yes.
That I feel like they did make a sequel to that no one saw.
I think that is the case, yes. It was
So
maybe
it is
direct, some sort of
plural.
direct to DVD or something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening to us recap this roller coaster of an episode. Thanks to Anjali Mercado, who is such a great editor for us, and Louis Aronowitz, who wrote a killer theme song all those years ago.
You did both a thank you, so I have
I
nothing to add.
know, I apologize. I don't know why I barreled through them like that.
Thanks to our listeners.
Yes, there you go. Yes, awesome. For XOXO Riverdale, I'm Louis Pearlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
Bye.
Bye-bye.